Everyone enjoyed their Easter break. Amen, amen. Ready to get back at it for the last 3 weeks of school. Praise God. Awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. First week of May is coming quickly. Amen. Looking forward to it. I know you are. It's a blessing. Think about it. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. Amen. God has more in store. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And definitely make sure that you sign up as an alumni once you graduate, because you don't want to miss the apostles' classes when you either online or, if possible, even in person, because it's going to be just a continuation of what God's been putting in his heart, you know, for us, manna from heaven. Amen. Let's go ahead on and get in prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you for this day, because this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it, Lord God. I thank you right now, Lord God, that you speak through my mouth and think through my mind, Lord God, that, Lord God, that you use me as an instrument of righteousness. I thank you for each and every student, Lord God, that they're getting everything that they need from this school, that they may be victorious in their endeavors spiritually, and even, Lord God, in the natural world, Lord God, in the everyday world, Lord God, that they are more than conquerors, Lord God, that they'll take the information, the impartation, and the revelation that has been put out this year, Lord God, and for this class, the last 2 years, Lord God, and they'll go out, Lord God, and do exploits, Lord God. And I thank you, and I trust, Lord God, that they continue to stay connected to the apostle, Lord God, and to the vision here, and stay connected to their local pastors, Lord God, and walk in the assignment that God has for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, in these last couple of classes, what we're going to be doing, and if you want to follow along in your book, we're going to be around page 154, and we're going to be talking about how to reap honor rewards, how to reap honor rewards, a harvest from honor seed sown. I mean, we've noticed in the last class sessions over the last of all year how a lot of people have done things to bring dishonor. But what we want to do now, we want to build honor. We want to know how to reap rewards of honor. And that's so very important. We're going to be looking at actually 7 steps of building honor. When you develop generational anointings from the father to the son and the passing it on to the children, whether it's on a physical son or daughter, or from birth, or from a spiritual son or daughter through ministry, there is a 7th step. Now, the author talks about a seven-point principle, but I actually called it a 7-step principle in developing the seeds of honor. And that first step is that in developing the seed of honor, that you must be called. Called not only just spiritually, you know, as a call of God on your life, not just, you say, well, I'm not in the fivefold ministry, but if you are in the ministry of helps, that in itself is a call, because the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness and no shadow of turning. So if you've been called to a ministry, and if you even work in the ministry of helps, whether that's an usher or whether that's a praise leader or on the praise team or on the praise band, or you serve in some area of governments in the church, or whatever that particular capacity is, you've been called by God, and you've been equipped and anointed by God to do whatever God's called you to do. And that's so very important. So I'm going to go ahead on and give you the 7 steps. We're going to try to cover at least 4 of them today. And then in the next class session, we'll try to get the remaining. The first one is you must be called. The second step is you must be commissioned. The third step is you must be competent. The fourth step is you must have good conduct. And then the fifth is continuity. There must be continuity. The sixth is you must have confidence. And the 7th step is control. You must have control or self-control. And all of these steps are so very important. And you can't not skip a step, because each step is so very important. So let's deal with called. What does it mean to be called? Let me give you a definition. A definition of being called is a strong inner urge or prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill your vocation or assignment. A divine call to be called or summoned by God into ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. And that's a call of God. You know, whoever God calls, he also equips. And that's so very important. You know, with the calling is going to come the equipping. You know, but if you've been called in the fivefold ministry, or as I stated earlier, or if you work in the ministry of helps, those are divine callings of God to undergird your man of God, to undergird your pastor, you know, to help fulfill the vision that God's called you to. Amen. And that's so very important. Proverbs 11:4 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And the reason why I shared that scripture, when God calls you, God's going to also confirm that calling. You know what I mean by confirm it? There's going to be a man of God or somebody in spiritual delegated authority that's going to help confirm or to reassure you that, yeah, God is speaking to you. God is leading you in that direction. You know, and that's why it's so very important to stay closely connected to your pastor, to your man of God, so that, you know, when you feel like God is leading you in a particular area, you need to confront them and say, you know, this is what God is speaking to my heart. Don't just step out there and just go out there on your own because you feel an urge, you know, and it might just be gas. You know, because listen to what I'm saying. Every call has got to be confirmed, you know, because you have to know of a surety that God is speaking to you. And then the gift is going to even have to be proven. You know, there's going to be a proving period where you know without a shadow of a doubt because God's going to begin to use you in a greater capacity. And a lot of times we receive a lot of word from the churches that we're a part of, from the connection through LTMA. And we may feel like, well, because I know a lot of scriptures, but whom God calls, he will equip. Amen. And that's so very important. It says here, but unto every one of us is given grace, which is a special endowment or an anointing, according to the measure of the gift of Christ, as Ephesians 4:7. And it goes on to say, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high and he led captivity captives. I'm reading out of Ephesians 4. And he says, he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, but that also that descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up above all the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And what did he give these gifts for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then in verse 13, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now these are gifts that are bestowed upon those God has chosen, God has placed his hands upon. And it's so very important that we know the area that God's called us to, because you know, this class is the spirit of honor. You want to bring honor to God, first of all, honor to your man of God. And by doing so, you're going to be honored when you show honor and you develop and walk in honor, because we serve a God of honor. You know, he's to be honored and praised. And then God placed men of God over us that we honor. But when we walk in our God-given assignment, our God-given vocation, we bring honor to ourselves and honor to God, because we're fulfilling. One of the things I've always told people, you're going to never really be satisfied. You know, no matter what you accomplish in life in the natural, if God has a call upon your life, there's going to always be an emptiness, a void, if you don't begin to pursue that call. And I know that's why you're here. You're going to pursue it, and you want to pursue it with all the very fiber that's on the inside of you, because it's got to be something personal. Amen. But in order to build honor and to reap the reward of honor, the first step is that you must be called. A calling from God is the first step towards being successful in ministry. If you are not called, it is no way for you to be successful in something that you're not called to do, because whom God calls, he equips. In Psalms 127:1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it." In other words, if God is not in a particular thing that you're doing, well, then you're laboring in vain. You're striving, but you're not making no progress. You know, a lot of times I tell people, you know, if things not working, you need to back up and ask God, "Lord, what is going on? What am I doing wrong?" And sometimes you've missed certain steps in the process that you need to go back and make sure that you're following God's pattern to do what he's called you to do. Jeremiah was called. It says in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, and I'm just giving you some illustrations of people in the Bible who were called of God to do particular tasks or particular offices that they held. It says in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nation." God is saying here, Jeremiah, before you were even born, you know, I had a plan for you. That's talking about predestination, and that God predestined and he predetermined what he desired for us to be. And it's for us to now begin to put those pieces of the puzzle together. You know, when I first joined Word of Life some 25 years ago, I had no idea I'd be standing where I'm standing now. I had no idea that I would have enrolled in the School of Ministry some 22, 23 years ago. I had no idea that I would be involved in prison ministry or doing any area of ministry whatsoever. The only thing I knew is that I love God and I wanted to serve God, you know, but in each step of the way, God will always confirm something. You know, your man of God may call you. I want you to be a part of the praise team. I want you to be in leadership, and I'm going to make you one of my master life bearers. I want you to be over the security or whatever the area is, you know. And when you begin to walk in that calling and that office humbly and as unto the Lord, as you begin to do that, God's going to begin to develop you. And then all of a sudden, the light is going to begin to get brighter towards the destiny, you know, because now you're making a conscious effort to begin to walk out your destiny with God, to begin to walk out that calling. And it's a walk of faith. You just do it one step at a time, you know, trusting God. And then God's going to begin to show you and confirm it through your man of God when you've arrived at a particular destination and it's time for you to move on to another area. And one of the things I've learned too is that you definitely don't want to do it in your own strength, because you can't. You know, nothing in ministry you can do in your own strength. You know, and that's why one of the things I always say, you know, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face, because I'm dependent upon you. You know, I'm trusting you. And we always have to have a complete and total trust in the Holy Spirit, because he's the comforter. He's the helper. Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Gentlemen, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay up in the upper room. Don't go out. Don't even mention my name to nobody. Don't do no witnessing, you know, just wait, praise, you know, sing praise and worship songs." He says, "It's going to be expedient that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send a comforter. And once I send a comforter, once he comes, you know, you're going to be endued with power from on high." You know, when Jesus rose from the dead and he was seen by his disciples on three separate occasions, one of the things he shared with them was, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You know, but the Holy Ghost hadn't actually came yet. He didn't come till Acts chapter 2. But when he came, now they received a boldness of power that they didn't have before. And the same Peter that denied Jesus three times during the crucifixion, during the trial with Pilate and Caiaphas and all that Jesus went through, Peter denied the Savior three times. And Jesus told him, he said, "Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times, Peter." But that same Peter, after he got filled with the Holy Spirit, got up, and he preached the first sermon in the New Testament in the book of Acts. And I think, 2,000-3,000 people got saved. You know, where did that boldness? But you see, that was a process. You know, Peter had to go through the stages and the steps. Peter was always, you know, kind of gung-ho. He was the one that cut the soldier's ear off. You know, Peter said, "Lord, we'll go with you always." And Jesus knew that there were some things that needed to be worked out in Peter. But Jesus told Peter, said, "Satan desired to sift you as a grain of wheat. But he says, I pray that your faith fail not." You know, that's, oh, wow, Lord Jesus. That's why you need a man of God. You know, because when you're endeavoring for the ministry and you know God's called you and you step out alone, Satan desires to sift you as a grain of wheat, to make your witness insignificant. You know, but when you have somebody that's praying for you, that's a covering. We talked about that in our other classes for you. That makes all the difference in the world. Believe me, you never want to leave your covering. Even after you get launched out into ministry, if God's called you into fivefold ministry, you still want to stay connected to your covering, you know, because there's really no original or how can I say this? You get your anointing from somewhere else, you know, from the ministry or the mantle that you're under, you know. Elijah didn't get his anointing from heaven. He got it from Elijah, you know, because he served Elijah for over 20 years. And he says, "As the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving you." If he went to Jericho, Elijah said, "Well, I'm going to Jericho." If he went, you know, somewhere else, he says, I'm. And there were other sons of the prophets. There were many others who followed in the distance. I call them secret disciples. You know, those who they you know, yeah, I'm a son of Elijah, but I'm not that close. You know, I don't quite go with everything that he go with, you know, so we stay in the distance, you know. But when it was time for the mantle to come down, none of those other sons got anything. You know, it's only those pattern sons, as we remember a year or so ago, and when we were talking about apostolic strategists, those sons who stayed connected and stayed close, you know, and anytime the man of God made a turn, you know, they were right there with him. You know, and you want to be, I'm way off my lesson now, but anytime the Lord is leading him in a particular direction, well, then that's the direction that you need to be going in, because you're there to undergird and to help bring the vision to pass, you actually put legs to the vision, to whatever your church is, your pastor, when he's ministering, if he desires to do something and he says, "I need some volunteers," our hands should be the first hands to go up, because what that is, that's an opportunity for you to be blessed. That's an opportunity for God now to place more of himself in you, because whatever you've been asked to do now, you're going to need more anointing, more ability to carry out that assignment. So it's imperative that God now has to equip you to do the assignment that he's called you to do. And that's where the calling comes in. You know, the equipping will always be there. You know, it's not an accident, because, you know, God is not going to send you out there empty handed. You know, we have too many people going out in ministry empty handed, with no ammunition, no power, no, you know, nothing to put them over like they, you know, or they leave the very thing that the very source, the very life source that was going to give them what they need. They leave and they disconnect. And just like a branch off of a tree, you know, you cut the branch off the tree, it's going, the leaves going to look just as nice as the leaves on the tree for a little while, but eventually it's going to wither away. And what people don't realize that when you disconnect from your life source, you know, spiritually, you're just withering away, you know. I've seen it too many times, and I'm just trusting, and I just thank God that nobody in this class will make that mistake. You know, because you've been taught, you've been trained, you know, not only from myself, but all the other instructors and definitely the apostle. You know, you want to stay connected. I can't stress it enough. I can't stress it enough. Like I said, I didn't pretty much just went completely off of my lesson, but, you know, it just came up. See, one of the things I'm learning too from the apostle is just to allow the Lord to just let it flow out of you. You know, one of the things that might have been the last class he taught, but he talked about, you know, just, you know, being led by God. And though you might have certain things written down, but when the Holy Spirit starts to move, you flow and you yield to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's see. Where can I pick up at? Okay. Praise God. All right. Since I talked about Elijah, I want to make this statement. Elijah followed after Elijah to serve him. After Elijah's mantle, which represents the anointing, was cast upon Elijah, he was prepared, or he began to prepare for ministry. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God will not pursue you. Because, let me just read a little bit here. Okay, I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to say 19 and 19. It says, so he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and with the 12, and Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. So now Elijah is pursuing Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I to do with thee? In other words, if you got to go back, you know, you're not worthy of following me. You know, God had already spoken to Elijah and told him that he was to anoint Elijah to be a prophet in his room. Earlier in the scripture. So Elijah now, you see, the calling came from God. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. The calling came from God, but it was conferred upon by a man. Okay, so there was a confirmation. Okay, God had called Elijah with the A to be a prophet, but he had to confer or to confirm that calling through a prophet who was already on the scene. And even that wasn't enough. Now Elijah had to follow Elijah for over 20 years in order to be nurtured and developed in the ministry. Amen. You know, so it didn't happen automatically, but it was a process. Amen. It was a process. Anyway, I'm going to finish reading. It says, go back. What have I to do with thee? In other words, I didn't call you. But by casting his mantle on Elijah, he was confirming his calling. And he turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and bore the flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered or served Elijah, waiting upon him. I'm just paraphrasing what the Amplified Bible says. Elijah ministered. That word minister means to wait upon. When you go to a really nice restaurant and you get a really good waiter, they actually are ministering to you. they come there with the towel and they ask you, can I do anything for you? Do you need any more water? I'll go get you some more rolls. We'll top off your tea. You know, they're waiting upon you. They're serving you. Okay, when you're called into service, you serve as a waiter would serve you at a table. You make sure, you know, a good waiter will get a good tip, right? We've been trained to give good waiters good tips. Okay, well, guess what? When you serve your man of God, and God's not tipping you, but you're going to get blessed. Okay, because a tip is just nothing but a blessing, right? But when you serve your man of God, as a waiter serves a table, and he gets a good tip, well then your blessing will the manner and the degree that you serve your man of God will determine the blessing that comes upon your life because of your service. Amen. That's about the best way I could say that. All right, let's move on. To reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. And I stated this already. I'm just reiterating what I just said. It's just in my notes. Never disconnect. Don't be like the other sons of the prophet that stayed in the distance. Those secret disciples, those who stayed in the distance, they didn't get anything. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord had sent me to Bethel. In other words, the Lord sent him to do some supernatural money come to you conference. But stay here in Bethel, Elijah. But Elijah said, no, as the Lord living and my soul living, I'm not leaving you. You know, and then again, Elijah went in another direction. He said, the Lord has called me to Jericho. And Elijah said, you know, told Elijah to tarry there until he comes back. You know, I'm going over to Jericho because I'm going to be doing some healing seminars over there. You know, well, you see, a lot of times in every turn, you always have people that fall off because they don't feel like, well, I don't need this. I don't understand this. One of the things I've learned over the years, you're not going to understand everything your man of God does because he's getting manna from heaven. And a lot of times it takes God to begin to reveal and unfold as we sit, listen, and learn and absorb what he's saying for us to digest it, you know. And see, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's where maturity comes in because, see, strong meat is designed for those people who are mature, who by reason of exercise has, you know, by using in the word and growing, have exercised their senses to know good and evil. In other words, you know, we can't be children. We can't be you know, babes anymore. We got to grow up, you know, and recognize that even though we may not understand something, we got to trust that it is for our good. Amen. All right. Let's move on. Okay, I think I did enough on number one. We're going to go to commissioned. That word commissioned is the second way to develop the seed of honor. And the definition is the act of granting or delegating certain powers of authority, privilege, and granting the authority to carry out a particular task or duty in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands when you're commissioned or sent out. You know, you're commissioned by an apostle or a prophet or your pastor to do a particular work. To give you some other illustrations, being sent out or released properly into ministry, to authority, to authorize or to grant by one in delegated authority, an apostle or a prophet or somebody under apostolic government commissioning you. Some other secular illustrations of commissioning: when a new police chief or comes into office, they generally commission the police chief. When the president of the United States, before he takes office, there's what is known as an inauguration, and even though he's won the election, he don't officially begin to serve his term and operate in his office until after the inauguration or the commissioning. And he puts his hand on the Bible and he you know, goes through the inauguration process. You know, a ship in the military, after they build the ship, before they send that ship out to sea, there's what is known as a commissioning of the ship. They'll take a bottle of wine or something and they'll hit the ship and break it. They'll have a ceremony. It's like putting your seal of approval on something and giving it. And but from a spiritual implication, it has more, a whole lot more than just a ceremonial type, you know, service. From a spiritual, you know, whenever, and I've watched the apostle real close, whenever he calls somebody to do a particular task, whether it's a prayer leader, whether it's somebody who's, a life bearer or a master life bearer, he'll lay hands on you and then he'll say, whatever gift, whatever calling, whatever special anointing God has for you, you know, in other words, he's becoming a channel now for God to channel whatever you need to execute that job, that assignment. You know, he'll say whatever gifts, whatever talents, whatever anointing, you know, Lord, grant them whatever they need to do this assignment. And I've seen him do it time and time again. That's a commissioning. OK, you know, that's done from somebody who's in spiritual authority under apostolic government, you know. Even when Jesus sent the disciples out, the 70 and the 12 out, you know, he commissioned them. You know, he gave them power over demons and over sickness. And then they came back and they said, even the demons are subject to our name. Why? Because they were sent out. And you see, God don't send people out without equipping them to do the job that he called them to do. So when you go out, if nothing ain't happening, well, maybe you didn't really get commissioned. And I'm going to say this, and I'm the worst thing could happen is somebody commission you that didn't get commissioned. You know, I'm just being honest, because Kenneth Hagin had a kind of saying for that, you know, and I'm not trying to be facetious or funny, but it's just the truth. You know, laying empty hands on empty heads produce no results. You know, so you want somebody who you know, and you want, you know, hey, that's anointed, that's been sent by God, that's got a proven track record, you know, and you want to be conferred properly. Anything I've ever did here at Word of Life, you know, the apostle said, I need for you to do this. You know, there was a commissioning, or there was orders that were given, that was either spoken, you know, hands that may have been laid hands on various times, but it equipped me to do the job that I was called to do. You know, and like I said, it's more than just a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing where God now is giving you everything you need to carry out your assignment. How much time do I have left? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 15? Okay, good. I'm good. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I don't miss any high points, because I'm going all around my notes. Okay, let's just read this here. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face in every city and place whether he himself would come. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto thy name. Why? Because they were commissioned. Now, if Jesus wouldn't have sent them out and commissioned them properly, the devils wouldn't have been, because of the connection. You know, if people would just get back to the Bible and see how Jesus did it, you know, he was establishing an order. He was establishing an order. And anytime you deviate from the order, you don't get the results, because the order has been violated. You know, it's so very important to follow the protocol, to follow the order. Okay, when you are commissioned, you are properly ordered, are granted authority and sent out, authorized by God and God's governmental delegated authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is proper order of the kingdom of God being properly sent out. I'm going to read that again. It says, when you are commissioned, you are properly ordered, are granted authority and sent out, authorized by God and God's governmental delegated authority to do the work wherein you are called. This is the proper order of the kingdom of God being sent out properly. And then I also want to preface that with 1 Timothy 1:14 says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the presbytery, by prophecy, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. I'm going to read it again. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, by the laying on of hands by the presbytery. That's a person in leadership, spiritual government. That's so very important. There was a thought that came to me in reading that. There's another scripture we may get to, but it talks about being diligent towards your calling, being diligent towards what God has called you to do. And when you're diligent, you're fervent. You don't let the assignment go. You just keep working the assignment. You just keep doing it. And you stay, you're persistent. A person who's diligent, they're going to be persistent. You know, you want to continually be persistent. Paul always, all through the New Testament, Paul, when he was going to the different churches, how he ordained elders and people, commissioning them for the service of the work of the ministry. He says in Titus 1:5, it says, for this cause left I Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are lacking, are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. In other words, to keep things in order. He was going about establishing and ordaining elders, leadership in the church, so that things can be set in order. You see, we're getting back to order in the church, in God's kingdom, and things are being set back in the proper perspective, the way God wanted it to be from the very beginning. John the Baptist, it says here, John the Baptist had to baptize Jesus to establish an order of the kingdom that allowed the Holy Spirit to fall upon Jesus without measure. And because order was followed, God was well pleased, and Jesus now began his earthly ministry. In Matthew 3:13-15, this is what happened when John baptized Jesus. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, Jesus, and thou comest to me. Why are you coming to me? You're the Lamb of God, but you're coming to me. But Jesus told John, he said in verse 15, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it be so now, for this is becoming us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. It was an order. John was before, he was the forerunner. Jesus was the prophet. Jesus was the Messiah. But even Jesus, by virtue of being baptized, by virtue of that was an introduction of Jesus' ministry. That was an ordination to some degree, because the Holy Spirit got involved. And up to that point, Jesus didn't really begin to do any miracles. But after the Holy Spirit came upon him, immediately Satan began to tempt him, because now he was exposed. And Satan knew who he was, but at the same time he had the power of God to overcome any temptation in anything, and he was fearless, because even Jesus had to wait on the Holy Spirit before he went out to do ministry. But the key point I want to bring out is the fact that he was commissioned. There was an order. There was a divine order that was followed, where John the Baptist baptized him. The Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. And Jesus said, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because he has followed orders. He has followed divine order. And he's now ready to begin his earthly ministry. Nobody need to be sent out without the proper commissioning. All right, let me see what else I need to share in that area. So we talked about commissioning. All right, with these last few minutes, let's go to competent. The third step in developing the seed of honor, you got to be competent. Hebrews 5, 13 through 14 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, when we were a child, we walked as a child, we talked as a child, we thought as a child, you know. But now, when you become a man or when you become mature, you know, we need to put down childish things and put them aside. And that's so very important. You know, strong meat. God wants to see right now we're getting such strong meat from our apostle. We're getting such revelation. We can't be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Where am I at with my time? So it's so very important that we understand that God wants to bring us to higher levels. And in order to flow into these higher levels, there's got to be a competence, you know, where we're competent or we're skillful in the word of righteousness. When you're competent in spiritual things, you're skillful in them. You know, you're not. When my son first started driving, he wasn't skillful in his driving. The reason why I know that, the wrecks he had was proof of the fact he wasn't skillful. You know, but the last couple of years after, you know, he had some bumps and bruises and he recognized I need to slow down. I need to watch traffic lights and pay attention and follow. And after a few speeding tickets and parking tickets and, you know, and having to pay it himself, then all of a sudden now, the light, you know, I need to mature. You know, I need to, you know, I can't keep doing this, you know. But from a spiritual perspective, we can't keep making the same spiritual mistakes we've been making and expect God to use us in the move and in the wave that God is bringing us into. You know, we have to grow up in the things of the Spirit. To be competent in ministry, we must put away childish things and walk in spiritual maturity, grow up in Christ in all things. How can God give us strong meat if we still sucking on a bottle, you know, and not growing up spiritually? We have got to develop and mature. There has to be a competence in their gifts. You know, those people God has gifted so that the gift has got to be developed. We have to develop programs that sharpen the giftedness in individuals. This is what the author is saying. And their ministry has to be strengthened. If we do not minister to their strengths and develop their weaknesses in moments of pressure, their incompetence can release dishonor, you know, by not knowing how to properly go about our Father's business. You know, our incompetence will people who are not skillful in the word of righteousness, if they're not careful, it can lead to dishonor. It can lead to inadequacies, to failures, you know, and instead of bringing honor, you bring dishonor. You know, because the competency level, the skill level wasn't there, you know. And that's why I'm encouraging everybody on the internet here in the class. Graduation, the first week in May, is not the end. It's really just the beginning. You know, I'm telling you what I know, because I thought when I graduated, I have arrived. But I just got my foot in the door. You know, that was just an initiation. You know, and just let me know I'm qualified to go to another level, you know, and the process continues. It continues to grow. Amen. Ministers need somebody to speak into their lives, somebody of spiritual authority and rank to lay a solid ministry foundation under their feet, a spiritual father who can speak into their lives to eliminate weaknesses. That's what a covenant relationship is designed to do, to eliminate weaknesses. Also to jerk the slack out of their lives and be an example, you know, and also to be a covering. That's so very important. I'm going to read that again. Ministers need somebody. You know, we all need a spiritual father. And I trust that we all already do. But I'm just making this statement. Ministers need somebody to speak into their lives. Somebody to someone of spiritual authority and rank to lay a solid spiritual or ministry foundation under their feet, a spiritual father who can speak into their lives to eliminate weaknesses. And that's what a covenant is designed to do. When you come into covenant with somebody, one of the purposes of a covenant is to eliminate weaknesses. Where you're strong or where they're weak, where you're weak in a particular area, they're strong. And when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we came into covenant with him, you know, he said, take my yoke upon me because my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. And so now we exchange our weaknesses for his strength. That's why when we do things from a ministerial point of view, we're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in his strength because we're taking his yoke, you know, and we're just allowing him to use us. You know, I like the expression, I'm just a vessel that you can flow through, that God's power can flow through. And that's what we want. The last thing I want to talk about, I got 5 minutes? Oh, 6 minutes. Great. I'm using my time pretty well. Is good conduct. As ministers, we need to have good conduct. Honorable men and women and who are above reproach. Okay, Ephesians 5:3-4 says, but fornication and uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which is not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. Now let's look at some of these. We know fornication, that's a no-no. You know, one of the things, if a young man tell me that, you know, he's aspiring and he knows that God has called him to the ministry, one of the first things I encourage him to do is begin to seek the Lord for a mate, because you need a strong woman to undergird you and to be a covering for you in certain areas, because now you become an open prey to the devil. You know, I've seen too many ministers fall in that area, you know, of adultery and fornication, you know, because one of the things, you can't trust your flesh, you know, have no confidence in the flesh, you know, but when you have proper covering and God will give you proper covering, and that's so very important. All uncleanliness, covetousness. I mean, you know, these are things that are fleshly that, you know, that will impede our good conduct and keep us from being men and women of honor and integrity. You know, filthiness, foolish talking. One of the things I try to stay away from is people just busybody talking. You know, anytime I hear somebody talking about a man of God or just a person, another Christian, you know, look, I'm not going to be a part of that. One of the things, one of my mottos, if I can't help you, I am not going to hurt you. You know, and as men and women of God, we got to be people above reproach, you know, because you are snared by the words of your mouth, you know. And it's so very important that we be people of uprightness and integrity. Let me read the Amplified version of Ephesians 5:3-4. But immorality, sexual vice, and all impurities of lustful, rich, wasteful living, or greediness must not even be named among you as fitting and proper among saints, God's sanctified people. Let there be no filthiness, obscenity, indecency, or foolish, sinful, silly, or corrupt talk, nor coarse gesturing, which is not fitting or becoming, but instead voice your thanksgiving to God. For be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice, impurity in thought or in life, or who is covetous, who has lustful desires for the property of others and is greedy of gain, for he is in effect an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Jesus, the kingdom of Christ, and of God. So, I mean, that goes without saying. We need to be men and women above reproach. We're going to cover the last, I think it's probably got three more that we're going to do, but all of these things, you know, being called, being commissioned, being competent, and being of good conduct. All of these areas or steps, I should say, are very important in developing honor, or that we might reap the rewards of honor, that we're sowing these seeds of honor when we walk in our calling, when we are commissioned in that calling and sent out properly, and then when we now begin to be competent to where now we can actually be of some good. You know, you raise your kids up, you know, and you kind of want, I'll be glad when they can be on their own, they can be competent, where you can trust them and you can send them out and you know that they'll do what they've been trained to do. Well, you see, your man and your woman of God, they look for the day when their congregations and their members and the people in ministry can be competent in their calling to where they can, I'm going to say this, and I know my time's going to run out. I'll never forget one time I was called to minister on either Sunday or Wednesday. And he brought me in, the apostle brought me in the back, and he started to give me some instruction. He said, just go ahead on and take care of business, because I trust you. I know you're going to do the right thing. That said more to me than anything, you know, but that didn't happen overnight. Amen. And I trust God that you'll have those same experiences where you can be trusted in the things of ministry, and that you'll carry out the business and the work of God. Amen.